Hello there, and welcome to The High Ground, a Doof bonus content show where this month we're watching the highest rated video game movie of all time. In terms of critics, the most critically acclaimed.
Yes.
I'm your mighty eagle, Elliot Diebold.
And I'm your angry bird, Georgia Diebold.
And I'm the bad little piggy, Reuben Morehouse. Now, maybe you figured it out by now from those intros. Maybe not. But yeah, we're talking about the highest rated video game adaptation film of all time, which is, drumroll, Angry Birds 2. Who would have expected?
No one.
Not us. And after watching it, I still don't expect it. It doesn't make sense.
I'm so confused.
I mean, it was so bad. Fine. Right?
Was it? Oh, okay.
It was a perfectly suitable children's film.
Mm.
There's a lot of much better children's films, both for adults and children.
Yeah, but are there any based on video games, Georgia? That's the question.
No. Well, Pokemon? I don't know.
Sonic.
Yeah, I'm surprised that Sonic and the Pokemon movie, what's it called, Detective Pikachu, neither of those beat this out critically, but it's the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Undisputable fact.
Okay, well, let's get into it. I admit I skimmed the plot summary for this film because it's pretty basic. It starts off and everything's happy and all the birds and the pigs, they kind of live in peace. They do prank wars on each other or something.
Yep.
I assume that's some holdover from the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the main character, Red, he was like the one who saved the day in the last movie, and he stops the pig pranks from hurting the other birds. So this is like why he's important, and it's like the only part of his identity that he has.
Yeah, he clearly has a complex around only being needed as a hero. You know, it's a classic.
Yeah, you can tell what happened in the first one was he had no friends, and then he saved the day. Wait, it's like a Rudolph the Reindeer story in the first one. I'm assuming, and yeah, and now this is the sequel. This is Rudolph 2. Rude harder.
Can I just give you guys a piece of trivia that I've just found out on the Angry Birds fandom Wikipedia page?
Oh, God,
the reason that it's birds versus pigs is because when the game was first released, like, bird flu was very recent and swine flu was in the news.
Hey, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, so here's the quote. At the time, the swine flu epidemic was in the news, so the staff decided to use pigs as the enemies of the birds. That seems crazy, right?
It seems made up, but I don't know.
It's on the wiki page. Not just anyone can edit those, you know.
When this was out, like when I was in high school, a maths teacher who, Georgia, I think you had after me, he used to claim that the premise for Angry Birds was sexist.
Wait, why?
Because I it was like birds flinging themselves at pigs, and I think his argument was that birds are women and pigs are men.
That's definitely what he was implying.
That is a bit of a...
Like, there's a lot of layers to this.
Opinion to take.
I think that's more credible than the swine flu, bird flu thing.
Sure, I guess.
It makes more sense.
This has sat in my head for 10 years, because I think he said it 10 years ago, and I'm still passing to this day what he might have meant by this.
I think that's it.
Okay. Weird take.
Yeah. No, I mean, I did play Angry Birds pretty heavily for years, actually. I reckon there's a solid 4 years of my life where I would have played like 5 to 10 hours of Angry Birds a week. And that, coming into this film is very inconsistent in how closely it follows Angry Birds lore, and I found that very upsetting. As a huge fan of the series, you know, you can't do changes in an adaptation. That's just not okay.
Were you struggling with how this didn't hold up to your idea of Angry Birds?
Yeah, like Silver didn't do a single loop-de-loop in the whole fucking film. And that's her only ability in the game.
Okay.
Look, I don't remember. I played like a bit of Angry Birds, not a lot. Like, none of the birds were very angry. I think except Red. Red was, but even Red was like, he wasn't that angry.
He wasn't angry. He was just kind of a jerk sometimes.
He was just extremely insecure.
None of them were angry. Are they meant to be angry?
Or is I know, that, I was really confused.
Was that, for some reason, so I never saw the original movie either, but I kind of remember seeing a trailer for it, and I'm pretty sure they were all in anger management, but obviously that was a success. Well, yeah, they all seem fine. Yeah.
I mean, if this is the bar we're setting for children of what angry looks like, I could work with that.
They're going to be emotionally repressed. It was like the prank war thing at the start. Okay, this is probably partly because of not watching the first film that I sort of had like not really a good idea of what was happening. But I was really confused as to whether it was like this kind of like, because I thought it was quite this serious war, but that it was just obviously not that violent because it was like a kid's film. But they all seemed like very stressed out by it. Like Red's like literally his whole life is devoted, no sleep, like just devoted to like, you know, protecting people from the pigs. And then they turn around and were like, oh, it's just like a prank war. And nobody even wanted to be doing it. Like when the pigs declared like a truce, they're like, oh, finally, thank God. And I'm just thinking that this makes no sense. This whole situation, I'm really confused. I thought it was like serious war and then it was a prank war, but then nobody was having fun. Like this whole premise makes no sense to me. I'm not going to go back and watch the first film to figure it out though. I'm just putting it out there that I don't understand it.
Yeah, no, I agree. There was a lot going on and it was not enough to make me want to go back and watch the first movie for sure.
And also, there was the little baby hatchling, and the other hatchling blew into its mouth and it expanded.
Mm.
It's not even an orange bird. Only the orange birds blow up like that. The pink ones, she was a pink one. She should have blown up bubbles, and then everything floats with the bubbles. This movie is ridiculous.
What a silly movie.
How dare they not even get it right. But just touching on the movie as a whole, I mean, like, I don't know. I've never played Angry Birds. I thought this movie was fine. My review of it would be, it's not just for hardcore featherheads, it's fun for the whole family.
Hardcore featherheads.
I've obviously been making jokes about how they didn't stick to the hardcore lore of Angry Birds that I grew up with back in my day. But, I mean, there were, like, you could sort of see how they went from this silly little mobile game to actually having a movie. Like, the birds slingshot around their island to travel.
Mm.
I thought that was funny.
I feel like we maybe missed out on some of the, like, funny world-building puns that maybe were there in the first film.
Right.
Which probably would have been maybe the best part of the movie, potentially.
There were some good, like, sight gags and stuff in this movie, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there were a couple of laughs.
That was what kind of kept me going. There were some good ones.
The comedy of this film reminded me a lot of the Lego holiday special in that it was just kind of throwing spaghetti at the wall for 90 minutes and some of it sticks, but it's like, you know, like 2% of it was making me laugh, and that equates to a bunch of laughs, but it didn't feel like it because, you know, 98% of it was still falling off the wall.
And like a good chunk of that 98% was like not just not funny, it was like cringy.
Oh, there were a few good moments though. The bit with the hatchlings where they go out into space.
We'll touch on the hatchling story in a bit, I suppose, because that was my favorite part of the movie as well. I'd just like to interrupt here because I've spent the last half hour just poking around the Angry Birds fandom wiki. Here's some more fun facts for you guys. Let's do a little pop quiz. Okay, so there's a character called Leonard, also known as King Mudbeard or Chuckles. He's the antagonist of the first film and kind of a what is referred to as a deuteragonist in the second, according to wiki. So obviously, like any wiki, part of it is abilities and strengths. Now, do you guys want to have a guess at what the abilities and strengths of King Leonard Mudbeard are?
Because he didn't actually do anything himself. Really
didn't, did he?
Ever.
I mean, he's like the king of the pigs, so that's got to be like...
Leadership?
Yeah.
You're very close. You're very close in terms of abilities.
Bossing, like, people around.
His two abilities listed on the wiki are absolute power and and supreme command.
absolute
those sound like,
power.
Like Magic the Gathering abilities or
they
something.
They do, don't they?
You know, like, that's like an RPG.
Do you guys want to take a guess at what his strengths are? He has one listed strength, kind of. It's a
one.
Bit of
commanding?
Huh?
Commanding, or like no, is it no. just the same shit?
No, it's not. It's going to be impossible to get, so I might as well just tell you. His listed strength is unknown. That's it.
Somebody was sitting there. They came up with these two silly things for his like powers, and then they got to that, and they're just like, oh, I don't know. Like, I can't come up
they
with anything.
They ran out of steam. They definitely ran out of steam.
I can't make up anything else. I'm out of imagination.
I do imagine the first movie, like, you know, because the three main characters who were clearly in the first one is, like, Red, the Bomb, and the yellow one.
Chuck is his name, which doesn't really fit at all, but sure.
Like, their designs and their characters all kind of map to what they were in the games. Like, the red one is just the normal one. The black one, like, blows up as a bomb. And the yellow one, like, you tap the thing and it shoots out real fast.
Right.
So you can see how they sort of took the ideas from the game and turned those into characters. And I just don't understand why they didn't continue to do that for the second one. Like, they just made Silver a science genius who doesn't do loop-de-loops. And also, the piggies are meant to be the science geniuses.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was confusing as, like, coming into the second film and you... There's, like, I need some basic rules as to, like, what the situation is here, which I'm already was confused as we've established about what was going on. And then, yeah, I became even more confused because I was like, I thought birds lived in, like, stick houses and that their whole thing was that they used slingshots and were angry and they're not angry. And then now they're techno geniuses as well, but that was the pig's whole thing. Yeah, it's just none of this made any sense. It was very inconsistent.
Because in the game, the angry birds live kind of like birds. And then the piggies are like industrialists who steal their eggs.
Right.
So I imagine that's probably what happened in the first one.
Right.
Because this was there was a sinister comment made at one point where Leonard's trying to break into Red's house. And basically Red says, like, you tried to eat our young. And I was
I was like,
Christ.
Wow, this is too dark.
I know. I was like, oh. God, so because this is at the point where they denounced that it was a prank war, and I was like, oh, I guess it was just a prank war. And he's like, you eat our young. I was like, that's not a prank.
Yeah,
too fair.
That's a pretty strong prank.
We'll get to the end of this movie. This world is quite forgiving.
Yeah, you're right. There's a thing that happens at the end of this film, which was like, this is crazy. This is like,
But yeah, no, like, there was actually, like, so there was a Bad Piggy spin-off game at one point.
Okay.
This was towards the end of my own run with the Angry
Birds
franchise.
Yeah, the Bad Piggies is, like, the official name for the pigs. That's their, like, faction name.
And the Bad Piggies game, it's honestly underrated. Like, that's genuinely a good game. I would recommend people check it out if you're looking for a mobile game. You, like, build, like, vehicles. It's kind of like, you know Polybridge? It's like the opposite of that. You build the cars to go over crazy things. So you get given like a limited set of like, you know, propellers or soda bottles which shoot out like fizzy water and give you a bit of propulsion. You got to like design a vehicle to get through a course. It's really cool. Check it out.
It
sounds... I mean, Angry Birds is pretty good. I was going to say it sounds better than Angry Birds, but Angry Birds is pretty good.
Yeah, it's similar to Angry Birds in that it kind of takes like... just a really solid approach at kind of a simple formula. Like, you know, Angry Birds took the slingshot genre of games and made it really good. That's basically what Bad Piggies does.
So, look, I'll get off the wiki soon, I promise, but I've got one more thing I want to read out to you guys. So the antagonist of Angry Birds, just a quick pop quiz, does anyone know his name?
Not Leonard.
Of the first movie?
No, the antagonist of the game. The games.
Uh-huh.
I mean, isn't it just the piggies?
Sure. There's one specific pig whose name is King Pig Smooth Cheeks.
Amazing.
Here's a quote. Here's a quote from the Wikipedia page of King Pig Smooth Cheeks. He once had a brief relationship and marriage with a cabbage and accidentally went insane, but he ended up eating it.
Whoa.
I'm sorry, what?
let me read that again for you guys as something that is just kind of dropped as though it's not the weirdest fucking thing in the world. He once had a brief relationship and marriage with a cabbage and accidentally went insane, but he ended up eating it.
That is so good. I like good.
There's a bot. But why? There's the bot.
Why didn't they put that in the movie?
Yeah, that would have been fun.
Would have been
does anyone want to guess the abilities and strength of King Pig Smooth Cheeks? His abilities include... No, unfortunately, he's the antagonist, Supreme so I don't think he knows absolute about power? No, he doesn't have absolute power. His abilities include balloons and piloting spaceships. And his strength is very strong. This series is the best, y'all. I love it. Oh,
I think what's funny about this, so the games, like, barely touch on this. This is all, like, from cartoons and
there's
stuff.
There's comics as well. Yeah. Like, it's obviously a series that has spun off. And when you spin off a game that doesn't have much going for it narratively, obviously things get fucking weird.
Yeah. Well, he says piloting spaceships, so I assume King Pig Smooth Cheeks is in Angry Birds Space.
He is. He's in, I think, a lot of the games.
Yeah. Because, again, good game. Like, good sequel.
Mm. Should we get back to this film?
I guess.
Yeah.
Fine.
So basically it turns out that there's a third island, because I guess these guys think that there's only two islands in the whole world, the bird one and the pig one.
Fair enough.
And so there's a third one that's just slightly further away, and there's like this evil eagle lady in charge of it, and she wants to take over the other two islands to turn them into like holiday homes for herself or something.
Homes. Their island is very, very icy and almost inhospitable.
That's
for
right.
For some reason.
So anyway, the pigs and the birds sort of team up to stop her because she's threatening them both. They form that truce. And then there's like a putting together the team montage and all that. Yeah. I don't know. Georgia, our sister's cat was there while we watched this, and the cat really liked this part of the movie.
Yeah, he did.
He was like actually watching it, and like he was scratching at the TV.
He sort of pawed at it a little bit. He was enjoying it a lot more than I was. He actually watched it. Yeah, I think he was trying to kill Zeta.
Well, he was invested in the story. She's a villain. You got to get her.
You know what I did really like was I liked the motivation of the baddie in this. She was just like, fuck everyone. I deserve good things. And I'm going to do whatever I can to get them. I just, like, she didn't really have this, like, deep, she was just like, I want to do this because it's nice for me. I want a holiday home on a tropical island. I don't like this ice place. It was just nice and simple.
It was straight to the point. It was good. She then went on to basically attempt to kill a lot of innocent people. So we should hold praise for her a little bit, but you're right.
No, sorry, not her. I just liked the idea in the film of having a bad guy who they didn't try to make it some, like, they were just like, she just wants to live somewhere nice.
Yeah.
That's her motivation.
It's very much self-care. Selfish self-care.
It was. Which then, you know, maybe it was a bit deep, because did that come from her having been abandoned by a mighty eagle? I don't know.
This movie asks a lot of interesting questions, doesn't it?
I think I'm probably overthinking it.
Speaking of all the new characters, I liked Gary, the nerd pig, the like Q pig.
Yeah, with the little cardigan. Gadgets.
Yeah.
He was cool.
He was my favorite.
The characters, there was, I think it's worth pointing out, the voice talent in this film is fucking insane, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so obviously Peter Dinklage is in it playing Mighty Eagle, playing a very weird character that I really didn't get behind at all. But then Rachel Bloom is playing Silver. Obviously, we've got Jason Sudeikis, Josh Gad, Danny McBride. Awkwafina is in this, who genuinely I think is an incredibly good actress. I don't know if you all have seen the film The Farewell, but she plays the lead in that, and she's fucking amazing. She's just playing a side character pig in this film, like, sure, whatever.
Yeah, she had like two lines.
She didn't have a lot of lines. But
that was a weird character because they kept her around like she was going to do something and she just didn't.
Yeah. Maybe she was in the first film, there. I guess.
Yeah, could be.
Oh, she probably was.
Yeah.
Who is Jason Sudeikis?
He's
Red.
Seriously, huh?
Yeah.
Did not recognize that at all. And Peter Dinklage was Mighty Eagle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Which is crazy. Rachel Bloom, obviously.
Yeah, Silver, I recognized her in an instant. I was like, oh shit, that's Rachel. Rachel Bloom's in this. This I know. Is a good movie.
Always glad to see her doing more stuff because she is a gem.
Yeah, I've actually got her book sitting on the desk in front of me. I need to read.
Good stuff. But surprised at the quality of voice talent in this film.
I've had that happen a few times over the last few years. Like, you pick up some sort of animated film and you read the voice cast and you're like, holy shit, like, this is much better cast than this movie feels like it deserves, should have.
Yeah.
Do you think, like, I wonder why. Do they get paid a lot of money probably for, like, kids' movies to be pretty successful? And you just kind of do, you don't have to commit probably a lot of time, I imagine, for a bit of voice acting. Like, it's probably a great gig as an actor.
Yeah. I just read an interview with Paul Bettany, actually. Sorry, we are recording this in the midst of WandaVision coming out, yeah. So that's where this is.
My YouTube recommendations are all Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany stuff. I just fucking rewatched Infinity War and Endgame, as well as Age of Ultron, just to get my hands on as much WandaVision content as I could.
No, so I haven't watched the last episode.
This was like an old interview from Age of Ultron, where basically Paul Bettany was talking about getting cast as Vision. And it's basically him sort of in the interview, and he's like, I used to just voice Jarvis in the Iron Man films and Avengers 1. Mm. So, like, I'd come in after filming was done, go into a recording booth for, like, an hour, and then get, like, a big bag of cash and leave.
Mm.
Now I have to come in, put on all this makeup, and actually, like, do work. This is a nightmare. And then it just sort of immediately cuts to like a different interview with Robert Downey Jr. And Robert Downey Jr. was like, yeah, I don't think Paul's happy that he actually has to do work now.
So good.
I think that's probably the logic behind, like, yeah, all these actors and actresses doing shit like Angry Birds. Because I think you get paid a comparable-ish amount and it's a lot less work.
Mm. Yeah, right? Like, you just do a couple of lines in a booth. Like, it doesn't matter. They don't have to worry about schedules or anything. Like, you just come in when you're free, I'm assuming. I don't actually know anything about voice acting.
I don't think they do them together, because I remember years ago reading a thing that Bob's Burgers is unique in that they do that. They have all the
actors and actresses. I would love to see a video of that. That would be so funny.
Yeah.
Because their voices are all nuts.
Yeah. But no, I think it was that. But yeah, they like had them all in neighboring recording booths and their like headphones were wired up to hear each other. And it's like one of the only animated things that actually has them like record as a group.
Mm.
Whereas something like, yeah, Angry Birds 2, every actor would have just come in on like separate days and just done their whole, like, you'd have Leslie Jones come in and do all of Zeta, was that her name?
Zeta, yeah.
Yeah.
You can kind of tell, like, Leslie Jones, Peter Dinklage, they don't really sound like they're engaging with the other characters, you know?
Mm.
It sounds like Jason Sudeikis and Rachel Bloom and Awkwafina and stuff. It feels like they put in some effort and they're like giving it a good try. Whereas for like Peter Dinklage, I think Peter Dinklage just seems like the kind of guy who you can very clearly sense when he thinks something is beneath him. And this movie is undeniably beneath him, but you can feel it, which I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I mean, not necessarily this movie, but the role of Mighty Eagle, at least.
Yes.
It was a lazily written character, and I think that came across in his performance.
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. It's fair to say he put in as much effort and thought as anyone else did around Mighty Eagle.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you guys want to know how much this cost to make and how much money it made at the box office?
Yeah, I do actually. Yeah.
Budget $65 million. Box office $154 million. So it's
some good profit.
Did well for itself.
This is also the sort of movie that I imagine is mostly going off like rentals and DVD sales and shit as well. Because like this is the sort of movie, and it's like the first one that you buy when you have young kids and you just throw on the TV constantly.
Mm.
Like I go over to one of my coworkers every few weeks at the moment, and he's got a 6 and a 4-year-old, and it, like, he gets so much money's value out of Disney Plus, because it's like if like all of us are going over there for a barbecue for the day, he can just put on fucking The Incredibles followed by The Incredibles 2, and his kids will just watch it for 3 hours and just be silent. And I think he's doing that, like, a lot, especially, you know, in the last year
when
they haven't been able to go to school.
So you could just put on Angry Birds 1, Angry Birds 2, Angry Birds 1, Angry Birds 2, constantly in your house. Isn't that great?
I mean, there's worse things you could put on in the background, like, to be fair.
I've never seen any Paw Patrol, but I think I hate Paw Patrol. Just the idea of Paw Patrol, I'm just like, I hate that.
I've seen a chunk of Bluey. Bluey actually kicks ass. If you're listening to this and you've got young kids, I think Disney has the license to Bluey outside of Australia. Like, they bought the international rights. Check out Bluey if you can. It fucking rules as a kid's show. It's like the opposite of what was that one everyone hates with the bald kid?
Oh,
who does terrible shit all
the
time? Caribou.
Yeah, that's the one.
Something like
Caribou. It's like Caillou.
Yeah. Anyway, Bluey's the opposite of that. Bluey's like the kids learn nice lessons, and yeah, it's good shit. Check out Bluey.
Also, the doggies are cute. Little puppies.
Should we talk about the hatchlings, the best part of this film?
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, because basically what happens is in the rest of this film, just to wrap it up, they win the day because they break the machine that Leslie Jones is trying to use to end the world.
Well, they don't, right?
Well, that's right, they don't. They actually, the plan actually massive, like, well, not massive, it fails. And then Mighty Eagle saves the day. By being pathetic.
Yeah, okay, no, let's do the hatchlings first. I'd rather do the positive.
Because there's a lot to say here about the ending of this film.
As the main plot is going on, it's like every 15 minutes we cut to...
what is essentially an episode of the Angry Birds cartoon show, right? That's what it feels like.
Yeah, or like it reminded me of a Pixar short. Like, yeah. There's very little dialogue, and it's these three, like, young birds who accidentally let three... eggs drift out to sea, and it's all their, like, harebrained schemes and shenanigans about getting those eggs back.
Yeah.
And they're honestly fucking hilarious. It's very and delightful. Good.
Easily the best part of the movie.
It had some of my favorite moments as well, right? Like, there's this bit where the eggs have landed on a cloud, which just was a great gag in and of itself. These eggs landing on a cloud with a little, like, plink.
Well, because they do that in the game.
Oh, do they?
Well, the eggs are always on clouds. Well, not always, but the eggs are very often on clouds.
Wow,
even not that knowing went that, totally I thought that my was head. A hilarious gag because it was just funny. Anyway, so to get them, they tie balloons to themselves and it works and they're about to grab them and then they just keep rising and then they're like, oh shit. No, sorry, they don't tie balloons to themselves. They inflate one of the three babies into a balloon. Sorry,
again, she's not an orange. It's the orange ones that do that. She's a pink one. She should have been turned into bubbles.
Okay, whatever.
Anyway.
It's hilarious. And then they kind of just fly out into space, and then suddenly Major Tom starts playing. And you're just like, what? And you just have these shots of them, like, drifting up past planets and shit. And it's great. It's so much fun.
My favorite one was when they – so then after that, the eggs land on this island, and then they sort of land behind a thing of grass. And when they go behind the grass, the eggs are sitting on top of this big snake. And then it just kind of like cuts to back behind the grass, and then the little birds come out and they're all dressed in like snakeskin boots and snakeskin belts and snakeskin hats, and the front one just goes, that got dark. And it was like, what the fuck?
It was so good. They just murdered this snake.
Yeah, that was a legit 10 out of 10 joke. Because then the snake comes back later,
yes,
and it's got all these bandages over it where they've ripped its skin off to make their clothing that they're still wearing.
Yeah, she goes, when the snake she's wearing comes the back. Boots and she goes, oh, sorry, takes them off.
But because these eggs finally hatch and it's revealed that they accidentally got swapped with the snake's eggs, and so their children have hurt, that the other younger eggs have not returned. And for a moment, before the snake mom came back, I was like, this is so dark. They've just murdered a mother and stolen her children. Yeah. And that's the resolution of this story. And I was, yeah, it was awesome. It was so good.
Really. No, they just partially skinned her alive to make clothing and then stole her babies but traded them back.
Yeah.
So it's actually ethical. I enjoyed that whole subplot a lot. I would happily have watched 90 minutes of hatchling shenanigans.
Oh, definitely.
The one part of the actual film that I also really enjoyed a lot was there's this bit where they dress up as an eagle and they're in this eagle
costume. Actually, that was quite good, yeah.
And they're in this, like, ridiculous-looking costume. And all this absolute nonsense shenanigans happens. They go to the bathroom and it's a fucking disaster.
that was quite funny.
That was the most I've laughed at, like, slapstick humor in quite a long time.
It really pulls it off. Like, I would just Google, what do you need to Google? Angry Birds 2 eagle suit scene, maybe? I don't know. That more or less worked out. Yeah, cool. So just Google that. Eagle costume scene, and you'll find some real fun stuff. It was pretty great.
I'm still not sure whether it was just a really bad pun or whether it was kind of funny, the bit where the bomb Angry Bird is like, has been told to take out the guards, and then he goes around and he's like, and you think he's going to like blow them up, but then he takes them out for a drink.
It's so stupid. Oh, is this actually a great movie? Is this actually just a really good movie, guys?
I would say the sort of like the climax of the action bit was actually easily the best part of the, like, well, aside from the three little birds, was like, it definitely got better right at the end there. And then the ending was really fucking weird and then it went back down again.
Yeah, well, so let's touch on the ending because we've got to talk about this. So basically what happens is, yeah, you're right. They actually fail to stop the machine and it's looking like Zeta, the evil eagle, is going to continue. And then basically early on we learned that actually she used to date Mighty Eagle, and part of this is like a bit of a revenge thing. Because he proposed to him
and then he ditched her at the altar, which is pretty shit. Actually.
Yeah, and so then he comes back after like 20 years and is like, I was wrong. I actually do love you. Let's get together.
They have a child together.
No, but that's not even what he says. He's like, this is all about me, isn't it? You're just so heartbroken because of me. And she's like, what? No, I haven't thought about you in 20 years. So good.
No, but she says that. But then she immediately agrees to marry him again. The next scene is them getting married. I think it's implied it's a couple of days later, tops.
Yes. I think it's, but she only agrees to marry him at least after he saves the daughter. She doesn't forgive him straight away. She kind of does,
Yeah, but anyway, but then the point is, like, they get married and everyone is, like, cool with her again, which is, like, she was trying to genocide two races.
She really, like, got close to doing a genocide.
No, a double genocide.
Double genocide, yeah.
He did.
Like,
where do the eagles fit into things?
Like, species-wise. Who knows?
Yeah, like, I mean, it's game, birds versus pigs, and it's like, where do the eagles come into this?
Mighty Eagles in the games, at least where I got up to. Like, the thing is, at this point, I've missed, like, half of the entire franchise, so it could be the other eagles are in later games, but Mighty Eagles in from the first one. Mighty Eagle's, like, a thing you can pay 99 cents, and he comes in and, like, wrecks most of the level, making it easier to pass. It's, like, pay to win.
Because it's stuff. I was wondering, like, if he was, is he an angry bird? Is Mighty Eagle an angry bird?
The lore is not clear in the game. Oh, okay. You'd have to read the comics, I think, to know for sure.
I'm good.
I think in this movie, he's meant to be one of the eagles from the third island. Like, because he grew up there and was dating Zeta. So I guess he's not a bird.
Why do the eagles live on an ice island? That came out of nowhere.
Because that's where they evolved.
Yeah,
that's where they evolved. Eagles naturally are suited for cold climates. Everyone knows that. This is
very confused. And, like, particularly the baddie, Zeta or whatever, she was, like, such a tropical-looking bird. She looked like a bird of paradise. Yeah, she looks so different
to the other eagles.
And
then
she's living in this ice island, and I was just like, this is visually very confusing, and I'm not a child, so it would be more confusing when you're a child. I don't know.
I think you're reading too much into it. It's just like simple kid categorization stuff. Like, eagles, ice island; piggies, second island; birds, first island. That's just what it is.
But
just,
see, you lost me at eagles, ice island, because it makes no sense.
That's the first thing he said. So already we've lost.
Okay, well, should the piggies on the ice island doesn't make any more
sense. Why does there have to be an ice island?
Can't they be penguins? Why? Those are birds that fit on an ice island.
Like, that would have made a lot more sense.
But then I guess because Mighty Eagle is an eagle, they kind of had to be eagles.
Because we had to tie in the romance plot. What is this, like?
I'm sorry. All I'm hearing is Madagascar crossover.
Yeah. I was about to say, a la Madagascar. So can an eagle and a bird not get together? Because this is a cartoon.
True.
Can a pig and a bird fall in love?
These are the real moral questions that Angry Birds 2 forces us to ask.
Because Madagascar 2 always made me, like, really uncomfortable with the hippo and the giraffe. And you're like, I know it's a cartoon, but I'm just so uncomfortable with this for some reason. It's really weird.
What animal should a hippo date, Georgia?
A hippo.
Okay, well, that's a bit. I don't know about that. Hippos can only date hippos. That's a bit off.
I don't know, maybe. Well.
The wiki is not helping me identify the species situation.
But yeah, the end to this film is terrible. Like, especially the thing I hated the most about it was the whole plot of the film, like the character arc for Red is he's just not willing to, like, let go of the glory. He has to be the hero, right? He's got a complex about being the hero. And so he has this pivotal moment where he finally learns to work with Silver. And they're like, okay, yeah, let's work together to save the day. And then it fucking fails. And then all of a sudden, the end, the resolution is just Peter Dinklage comes in and saves the day. Like, it feels like it really undercuts what the movie is trying to achieve.
I hadn't even thought of that. My, like, because the part that jumped out to me from all that is because then at the end, there's a thing where everyone's like, oh, Red saved us. Red saved the day again. He's our hero. And he sort of comes up and he's like, no, I worked with Silver.
Yeah.
And then everyone's response to that is, Red's even more of a hero now.
Yeah, because he's humble too.
He's even more fantastic. And I was like, so, okay, we're just going to totally sleep on Silver then. That's fine.
Well, also it was like massively congratulating somebody for being just not an asshole, which is like a weird message to send. It's like, if you just don't take, you know, credit for other people's work, then you're a really great person.
Well, yeah, it's setting up an expectation that if you just do the bare minimum decency, you should be hero worshipped.
Yeah.
Which is like, this is how you get nice guys.
100%.
And yeah, and then obviously, like, yeah, the whole Zeta Mighty Eagle ending is just, it's weirdly both problematic because everyone just forgives her and then also because she just forgives Mighty Eagle. It's like, I'd like to think of myself as a pretty forgiving person. Like, if people show that they're trying to get better, I'm generally willing to extend them like a branch. But this movie takes it way too far. People are just like, I'm not evil anymore. And everyone's like, yep, okay, you're cool. Like, instantly.
Let's get married.
Welcome to the team. Yep.
There's no sort of proof that you're earning this at all.
Yeah, it's really unearned.
And no comeuppance, which, like, sounds, again, vindictive, but I think in, like, kids' films there is, like, an element to trying to teach what's right and wrong by having, like, bad people who do bad things, like, get punished in even, you know, usually it's just something, it's not, like, something hardcore, just, like, that, you know, they just, like, have to do something unpleasant for a slightly short period of time or something. There's just, like, no consequences for anyone's actions. It's weird.
Yeah. You know what, though? Here's the backstory to when I watched this movie. It was on my birthday.
Oh, no.
I'm so sorry about that.
My mum came over and I was like, hey, mum, do you want to spend my birthday with me watching Angry Birds? And she was like, no, I won't do that. So she came over. I started watching Angry Birds. She kind of was like, oh, I'll sit and watch the first 5 or 10 minutes and then leave. She didn't leave until the end of the film, so... Clearly, it's a good movie. It's a gripping thrill ride.
I think we had kind of the opposite. We were watching it. I came up to Armidale for the weekend and we watched it together. And Dad got home from work halfway through and he's like, oh, yes, families, what are we going to do? And we're like, oh, we just put on this movie, Angry Birds 2. And he was like, oh. And then I don't think I saw him until the movie was over. He just left. He was like, bye.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, we'd spent the day before that doing a Lord of the Rings marathon, and he stayed for most of that. I think he was just sick of watching stuff.
Oh, he only stayed for, like, the first movie, didn't he? Oh, maybe he stayed for Two Towers.
He watched most of Two Towers.
So which was better? All three Lord of the Rings or Angry Birds 2?
It's tough. It was a sharp, you know, that's, to be fair to Angry Birds 2, it was a sharp decline to go from a full, like, 12-hour Lord of the Rings marathon in 4K to fucking Angry Birds 2.
Yeah. I think the Angry Birds might have been in 4K, but...
Oh.
Yeah. Lord of the Rings.
Is that a 4K TV?
The reason we were watching them, watching Lord of the Rings again is because the new, like, 4K version came out. Looks crisp.
It's pretty good. Well. Defo worth a rewatch. Definitely worth sitting on your ass for 12 hours straight.
All right. Well, anything else you want to say about Angry Birds?
Let's just go to the Lord of the Rings 4K instead.
We're pivoting. No, I like the Angry Birds games. I'm just going to continue to try and sell those because that's sort of been my gimmick for this episode, I think. I like the Star Wars one. I like...
Yeah, somebody's posted pictures up here of...
That was me. Sorry.
Red Angry Birds.
While I was looking around the wiki.
Oh my god, there's an Ezra Bridger.
Yeah, I picked that up just because I was like, who is this character that seems so obscure? Why is there an Angry Bird version of Ezra Bridger?
Ezra's a fucking sick character. He's the lead of Star Wars Rebels.
It's just so random. I assumed Elliot must have put it there because he likes Rebels so much, but... And who are these other fellows?
No, that first one.
Do you want to try and guess who they are? I mean, yeah, the next one's got to be. See these, though, which is...
It's Anakin. The next one's got to be Anakin. Skywalker.
It's got to be Anakin.
Yeah.
And then this one with a. He's got a kind of.
Is that Anakin as well? But
that's young Anakin. Too. Yeah.
And then is this one Luke?
I think. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, because he's wearing the like the red helmet. Team helmet thing.
Yeah. No, Angry Birds got kind of weird when I was dropping out. And I shudder to think what it's gotten like in the 5 years following.
Apparently there's a Star Wars version.
There's two Star Wars versions.
I played a bit of the first Star Wars one. I know there was a second one, but I don't think I played it.
I think there's Transformers as well. Is that right?
Oh, that must have been after my time.
Angry Birds Transformers. Yep.
Oh, I have played. There was a VR one. I played that for work last year. It's actually pretty cool. Because it's like 3D and you've got to like move yourself around the thing to like aim, like, because you're holding your slingshot in one of the controllers. So you've got to like figure out where to launch from as well as like how exactly to launch. That was pretty cool.
The Angry Birds Transformers game looked real weird, y'all.
One of the last ones that they released just as I was getting out of it was like an RPG. I think it was called like Epic.
Mm.
And it was like a full on like JRPG type game.
What a franchise, though.
Like, I think that was where honestly, that game was part of why I dropped out, because I was just like, I can't do this.
Can't
like,
be topped. If I play this game, all other video games will pale in comparison. Well, that's Angry Birds, I guess.
Okay, yeah, and there's a picture of the Transformers Angry Birds.
Yeah, thanks, I hate it. Red as Optimus Prime. And someone else's RC, I'm not sure, a pink Angry
That's
got
to be Stella, the pink and white one.
Sure.
yeah, okay.
She had her own game at one point.
All right, all right. Her name. Nerd. All right, you angry
nerdy
nerd.
Birdie.
Yeah, so, just our last topic on Angry Birds, I want to talk, because Ruben used the term featherheads to describe the fandom in the notes. I think he said it earlier. And this set me on a hunt, because I was like, what are Angry Birds fans call? And I found this thread from 2013 on angrybirdsnest.com in the forums. This is from Lauren M. I'm going to do my best Mbimbam impression.
Yeah.
This is from Lauren M, who asks, whether it be Trekkies, Little Monsters, or Potterheads, most things in pop culture have names for their fans. Bad Piggies fans are called Piglets. But what would you say would be the fandom name for AB? Perhaps The Flock? I call myself a Nerdy Birdie. I think that fits quite well. So Nerdy Birdies would get my vote.
Nerdy Any Birdies ideas? Is rough.
There's something so cute about somebody bothering to post this onto a forum to get other people's ideas.
Yeah, I'm kind of in love with this. Like, there's a response from Seasons King who suggests Flingers.
Hey, that's actually probably the best one yet.
My favorite response might be from Les Toreadors, who says, a fandom name appears more authoritative when it simply says, I am a bird, rather than having a special name.
Because that's what you want to be as a fandom.
Is
authoritative.
That true? Yeah.
That's the goal.
Anyways, yeah. There's actually a lot more to this response that I'm not going to bother reading out, but like this user also makes the case for Bad Piggies fans should change it to being I am a pig.
Hey, so what are little monsters? Because that was that's just hit me. Like, I know what a Potterhead is.
Yeah, I don't know that
one
either.
It's a little monster.
Yeah, I thought that might just be Elliot missing stuff, which happens sometimes. Well, there's a movie called that, but it doesn't look like that's what it is. Little Monsters fandom.
Hey, I'm Googling the same thing.
Oh, it's Little Monsters, Lady Gaga fans.
Lady Gaga fans.
Oh.
Get behind that.
Okay.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, sure.
I like that.
I'm a bit of a little monster. Lady Gaga's pretty cool. She was great in American Horror Story.
She's just great in general, I think.
Well, anyway, what would your suggestions for the Angry Birds fandom name
be? I like Featherheads. I know I came up with it, so maybe I'm biased, but I think it works.
You sure it's better than I am a bird?
I think yes is the answer to that question. It is better than I am a bird, yes.
I'm partial to flingers.
I like flingers.
It's so it doesn't have anything to do with that birds, though, which is, like, my favorite part about it. Like, without context, it's fucking meaningless. It's like little monsters.
You can't just call the fans of the pigs can't just be called piglets. This is stupid.
Yeah, two on the nose.
Well, what do you suggest?
I don't know, anything.
Pork chops.
No, that's not bad.
Pork guzzlers.
Pork guzzlers.
I'm not really the sort of person who comes up with ideas. I'm more just one of those people who shoots down everybody else's idea. That's my role on the team. That's all I've got.
Ideas are NP hard.
As long as you shoot down Elliot's ideas, it's fine.
I know a good idea when I see it. I just don't come up with them.
Well, they wouldn't be pork guzzlers either. They'd be like egg guzzlers.
Oh, yeah. That tone was from me just remembering that the pigs eat the babies of the birds. Being sad about it.
There is a joke where in the movie King Leonard starts burning himself on some lava and one of the eagles goes, "Do you smell bacon?"
That was good.
Which implies that they eat bacon,
I
suppose the pigs openly eat the eggs of the birds, so why not?
Oh yeah, my god,
everyone just
eggs
eats
and bacon.
That's it. That must be the real origin. Forget this flu nonsense.
It's actually breakfast themed.
In Angry Birds 3, they're going to discover the toast island.
Oh, what are the eagles then? Is there something about, could eagles be something?
Cereal.
Okay.
Why not? Sure, why not? Well, thanks for joining us, everybody.
This was a weird one. I mean, because I think we've been agonizing a lot over what to do next, and I've been very adamant that we don't want to be another bad movie podcast because the last thing the internet needs is another one, and I think this movie really cemented that for me. Like,
it was a displeasure to waste my time watching something that I just didn't at all enjoy.
But just gave me, I didn't feel like I had anything. Like, I came prepared to talk about the games because that's like, that was what this movie inspired me to think about.
Yeah. So I guess we, going forward, we want to find movies that are, that you can laugh at, but also laugh with. You know?
Yeah. And that, like, that was what the prequel movies were for me. Like,
yeah,
they were awful and I enjoyed the shit out of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Genuinely. And yeah, that's a hard line to walk, I think.
Like, when it was my day coming up when I was going to watch one of the prequel films, I, like, would look forward to it.
Mm. Yeah.
This Elliot and I nearly forgot to do.
So the question
Sunday
is
afternoon.
Then, the question is, what other films do we know we'll probably think aren't that good, but we might have fun watching anyway?
Yeah, and we've got a little list, but definitely, if you're listening to this and you have ideas, please hit us up, because we're going to start a new trilogy now, but we'll probably need ideas.
A new trilogy, Elliot. There are 5 films in the series of movies we're going to be talking about next.
I know what I said.
Should we announce it or keep it secret again? I kind of like keeping it a secret.
No, we only kept Angry Birds a secret because I didn't want anyone to know we were watching, because then they wouldn't come.
They might accidentally watch it and then get stuck having watched Angry Birds 2 have.
You know, the sad thing is, like, we barely described the plot or anything for this film. I guarantee if you're still listening to this and you didn't watch the movie, you probably know everything you need to know.
Yeah, you won't get anything out of it. Don't worry about it.
Don't do it.
Yeah. So next up, we're going to be doing the Pirates of the Caribbean films. Because, yeah, I don't think any of us have seen them for a while, and they're pretty good. If you ask me, they get better over time, well, except for the fourth and fifth one. But the trilogy, I think number three is the best one, and I know that nobody else agrees
with me. I don't remember enough about them to have an opinion on that.
I don't think I've seen the third one, Elliot. I've definitely seen the first one, and I might have even seen the second one, but I haven't seen the third one.
I think in our house we had very much like a sort of set films that we would watch pretty frequently, which was like The Mummy and like Spider-Man, like Sam Raimi's Spider-Man.
Fuck, why aren't we doing The Mummy? Oh,
shit. Okay. Put it down.
Pirates of the Caribbean 3 was definitely one of these films that we would watch pretty often. But I don't think I've seen the first or the second one hardly ever. But I reckon I've seen the third one a bunch of times.
That was my fault, because I liked the third one the best. Yeah. So I would occasionally watch the first and second, but I would always put the third one on because it's my favorite. And I could already tell this is going to be another situation like when I give my opinions on Star Wars. Everyone's going to tell me I'm an idiot. But the third one is the best one.
You're an idiot.
I don't even remember the third one.
But yeah, thanks everybody for, I mean, if you're listening to this, it means you're a patron. So thank you for being a patron of Doof Media. It's much appreciated.
I mean, obviously we couldn't make this show or really any of the other shows that we do without your patronage. Ruben and I just launched our new show Pace last week, and episode 2 should be coming out at the same time as this episode.
Whoa, competition.
And Angry Birds check that out.
I haven't listened to any
of this new podcast, but I'm sure it's better than this episode.
No. If people are listening to this, it means they've made the right choice and chosen to listen to this first. If you listen to this second, I'm very disappointed.
So go check your base out. But stuff like that would be possible without your support. So, like, thank you so much.
Yay. And with that, we'll see you next month.